Dear listeners, as we are all aware, the UK government tested on Sunday the 7th of September at 3 p.m. the general alarm system. Unbeknownst to the general public, there are three levels of alarm. The first is for civil unrest. The second is to warn of impending natural disaster. And the third level, the ultimate level, is for impending air attack and, or even worse, William Shatner singing. Welcome, 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 dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcasts.
So very long.
Stop interrupting.
Crumbly.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
I'm Asterman.
And I am...
the sort of person who interrupts when not invited to do so. We've discussed this before, there may have to be spanking later.
Ooh.
With paddles.
Sorry? I thought you said with pedals.
Paddles!
I was going to hit you with a bike.
Whatever floats
and
your
not
boat.
In a pleasant, kinky way.
Anyway, without further ado, public alarms besides, it's the news with El Presidente.
Woohoo!
Doctor Who news.
Ooh, hey.
Disney still dragging it out.
Boo.
It is little wonder Shuti Gatwa decided not to wait indefinitely for a third season of Doctor Who. It has now become clear that the BBC is stuck waiting for an official decision from Disney on their future involvement with the series. Originally, we were all primed to expect that decision after the second season went out, and that is still technically true, but now we must also wait for the spin-off to be released. That spin-off, The War Between the Land and the Sea, now has a release date of sometime next year. In the meantime, Disney could decide to fund more Doctor Who and related content, but that does mean the BBC cannot move on until we get the official word one way or the other. Speaking to the Royal Television Society's television magazine, Bad Wolf executive Jane Tranter, not Pete Tranter's sister, said we would have to wait for all shot episodes, including the spin-off, to go out. Adding,
then and only then does Disney Plus have to make a decision about whether or not they want to do more. I imagine at a time when Disney are having huge cuts themselves and there have been slashes in program budgets, they're looking to take their time to balance everything out and decide what they want to do. At its heart, it's a BBC show and it will keep going one way or the other.
If I remember, they didn't say they were happy with their first season until the second season was almost going out.
Yes.
They said, oh, yes, this is quite happy, and, you know, despite the 1,001 emails and YouTube videos and Facebook posts that that Disney weren't happy and they were cancelling it immediately.
It's very unclear quite
yeah.
what's happening. And obviously, you know, it's not been the money maker yeah, they'd hoped for.
They're not
Disney Plus.
Yeah, they're not quite profitable as they would have hoped.
There's a lesson there. Don't believe every thing you see on the internet.
We were told there'd be no gap years, but surely there could almost be two at this point, couldn't there?
Yeah. If they can't start pre-production until sometime next year, whenever The War Between the Land and Sea comes out, then they're not going to be shooting until the end of next year, probably.
Yeah.
So we might get it in 2027.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Futurama news.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
New season coming.
Yay! Ooh.
Good news, everyone. Futurama is coming back for a 13th or maybe 10th season, depending on how you count some of the previously split seasons. The animated sci-fi comedy will be back on Hulu in North America or Disney Plus to the rest of the world, with all 10 episodes set to drop on the 15th of September.
That's almost now.
Yeah, it is imminent.
It is very close.
By then, Scott, we'd have been to see ABBA.
We will, and I'll be a year older and possibly a little bit glittery.
There'll be a Stardust trail wherever you walk.
And even more deaf than I am now. They blurb it as Bender is rampaging out of control.
Much the same as the other series.
A volcano is about to explode. Fry confronts a rival for Leela's love. And Dr. Zoidberg is rising up to heaven. The excitement might be too much. You have been warned. It's all a new season of Futurama.
We shall sit down and watch that then.
Yet to catch up with the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I'm well behind. It's on Disney. I keep forgetting it's on Disney Plus.
I keep flicking through and go, oh, yeah, got to watch that.
All right, then. That's a challenge. We're going from the beginning.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
Like 160 episodes, I think.
Yeah. It's just so I can see three of my favourite episodes that make me cry. The one where the dog waits for Fry.
Comes
back. The one where Leela thinks Fry's been injured and is trying to wake him up and it's really her. And there was another one. Fry's brother.
Oh, yes.
I was going to say, it's so traumatic.
It was. I blanked it out.
It's a proper sci-fi show, isn't it? It's all interlaced. It's like Stephen Moffat wrote it.
But with better drawing.
Perhaps you could intersperse it with other episodes of things you're watching, like Alien Earth.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Do the horror and then do the comedy.
But what if you have a week where it is a really sad one and a really horrific horror one, and then it just brings you down?
You've got over 100 episodes there.
It just brings you down.
Christopher H. Bidmead.
Dead.
Christopher Hamilton Bidmead, Doctor Who script editor and writer. The moment has been prepared for to death. Aged 84. Good
not
innings.
Not a bad innings.
Yeah. Bidmead is best known for script editing the final season of Tom Baker's run on Doctor Who and providing his final script, Logopolis. For Peter Malcolm Gordon Moffat's, a.k.a. Peter Davison's Doctor, he wrote his debut story, Castrovalva and Frontius, for his third season. Bidmead novelised his stories for Target and later narrated them. He did a bit of work for Big Finish, writing Renaissance of the Daleks, but asked only for a story credit, not the finished script credit due to their changes. They also created a Lost Stories audio based on his own produced script, The Hollows of Time, in 2010. Bidmead went on to become a technology journalist for publications such as Personal Computer World, PC Plus, New Scientist, Wired, and his own testedtechnology.co.uk website, particularly concentrating on Linux.
I liked his stuff.
Yeah, I hadn't really realised how ludicrous the titles were of his Doctor Who stories until they were all listed together there.
Yeah, but, you know.
Made-up words, aren't they, for the most part?
Because Logopolis, the whole of season 18, was pretty much when I got really hooked. Because, you know, I've been like most people who grew up in the 70s. I just watched it for the, you know, because it was Doctor Who and it was on.
Yeah.
But then I heard that Peter Davison was going to be the Doctor, so I thought, ooh, I'm going to watch this. And I started off at the beginning of season 18, and by the end of season 18, I was thoroughly hooked. And, yeah, Logopolis, then Castrovalva, and Frontios is always one of my favourites.
I do enjoy Frontios, and I think it might be Hollows of Time, which is a Tractators sequel. And I recommend that as well. I really like that one.
I've listened to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, because obviously we reviewed Logopolis last time. And is it before the podcast went out, I think? It was announced he died.
It was announced the day after we recorded, so it was before the podcast went out.
We didn't know.
We were very complimentary, though, weren't we?
We were.
It's a good job we didn't call him a wanker. I'd have felt terrible.
He certainly had a different style. He was very science oriented.
Orientated, yes. Yeah. And had to be reasons for things. They couldn't just happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike with RTD2.
Sad news.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And indeed. I really did enjoy his stuff.
Yeah, it's very strange he didn't have a bigger career in writing. Journalism, sure, but he didn't do too much TV or film writing.
Perhaps he decided it was time for a change.
Yeah, must have done. Okay. Any addendums then?
I have two.
Oh.
Count them. Two.
Lay them on.
One. Addendum.
Two.
Well done. And what's that in binary?
Two.
Well done.
It's 1-0, isn't it?
Trying to cash in on the Star Wars May the 4th.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was
September the 8th
yes.
is right. Star Trek Day.
Yep.
Why?
I don't know why.
That's not.
Yes, it is.
September the 8th is the anniversary of the death of Queen Elizabeth II Day,
okay.
Which isn't as fun as Star Wars Day or Star Trek Day.
Presumably that's the day the first episode went out.
It was actually. So, yes. Yes, yeah. I've just realised I actually saw a meme today.
Oh, okay.
Ah, yeah, but which first episode are we talking about?
I'm assuming the...
The Cage or Menagerie.
I'm assuming it would be Mantrap.
No, Mantrap.
Anyway.
Yeah, you sounded really irked then that he'd completely got that wrong.
Of course I am.
Sorry,
but I didn't try not to take it out on him.
Too much.
You just sneered.
Yes. Well, to get your tenses right, crumbly.
Do you challenge him to a duel?
And tense off.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, we're digressing. As it's Star Wars Day.
Star Trek Day.
Star Trek Day. You know, edit that bit.
You were very quick to correct
it. Why?
As it's Star Trek Day, yeah. They have released two snippets of information. One, you have a little trailer out there for the first ever Star Trek Lego.
Oh, yes.
Is that the Picard one?
That's the little little Lego Picard beaming up to the Enterprise.
Mm.
It's not saying what you can construct, what Lego kits are out there for Star Trek, just saying coming soon.
Mm.
But rumour has it, it's the Enterprise D.
Enterprise D, yes.
One good thing about the little Picard figure is it's got the little thingy in his head. So if you want to play... This is Picard 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You can put some hair on him.
You can give him hair.
Yeah.
And you can easily Locutus him up.
You could.
Mm. You can do. And another one is I am not 100% sure on, but there is a Star Trek Scouts.
What?
An animated Nick Jr. series debuts. I'll get it right in a minute. A Star Trek animated Nick Jr. series debuts on YouTube.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm.
The little blurb that accompanies it says, Star Trek Scouts follows 3 8-year-old friends, J.R., Sprocket, and Rue, as they train to become future Starfleet explorers by going on epic out-of-this-world missions that push them to discover and grow and boldly go.
So it's the guy from Dallas, the dog from Buck Rogers, and the little girl from The Hunger Games, all as kids. Whoa, what a crossover!
It does remind me very much of Paw Patrol,
that style
of animation. Yeah,
rubble on the double.
Chase is on the case.
Okay.
Oh God.
We've watched Paw Patrol with children.
Pity us.
We had no choice.
We've just watched Star Trek Acid Party.
Pity us.
My head still is hurting.
Yes. I'm never going to listen to Dark Side of the Moon in the same way again.
Ruined. And what's your other addendum?
That was it.
That was it?
Yeah, the Lego and the animation.
Oh, okay. I'd lost the will to live. And that's the end of the news. Right, because, you know, sometimes this podcast talks about Doctor Who.
we decided to
some Doctor Who.
Ooh.
Pause for music. Right, on the recommendation of young Scott, say hi, Scott.
Hi.
We've decided to trawl through the Big Finish archive to find a Peter Davison story called The Elite.
With his
After recommending Hollows of Time, which is a lost story, we've done Elite, which is also a lost story.
Yes.
Now, this one is set immediately after Ark of Infinity, when Tegan's rejoined the crew, and is worth listening to just for the first few minutes of the TARDIS crew alone, because the script is very, very funny when it comes to the Doctor and Tegan. And even Nyssa.
Yeah. Yeah. The Doctor doesn't pull any punches, does he?
No.
No, he's not that pleased.
The setup is the fact fatigue, and it sort of may have been a month at the outside. For the Doctor and Nyssa, it's possibly been a couple of years.
Yeah,
because he hints he's been off to do something. And I think that was the Omega script and all of those other Nyssa stories.
Yeah.
But this is a bit like a cross between Logan's Run and The Handmaid Tale.
Yes.
Mm.
The Doctor's promised them a trip to Florana because it's lovely.
Yeah.
And they arrive in a,
totalitarian?
In a war zone.
All of those things.
They were knocked off course by another time ship.
Yeah, there was a collision.
The wake of a time.
Dome Sissy, why am I reminded of Genesis of the Daleks?
Well, I was thinking, Logan's Run, Blake 7. And it's all youngish people, and it's very much us and them.
Yes.
It's the elite and the scum.
Yeah, that's it.
And the church.
Oh, the church, that was it. I knew there was another. The elite in the church and the scum. Poor buggers.
Hmm.
The first mistake the Doctor makes in this, because he needs a map.
To find out where they are.
Yeah.
He's a star chart.
Yeah. Is to say to Nyssa and Tegan, stay here and don't wander off.
So what do they
do? Now, in their defence,
for the first time,
they don't wander off.
No. They actually do what he says.
They do. They just stand and look around them and get arrested.
Yeah.
Pretty much straight away.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Scott, tell us some more about this one.
Well, the Doctor starts making inquiries about why everyone's so young, and he goes to the Academy.
Yeah. Because they may have a star chart.
That's it. He's still looking for a star chart. Mm-hmm. And as a little experiment, he decides to give some of the children chocolate.
With chocolate, which he confiscated off of Nyssa earlier.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
She thought he might just be pocketing it to eat himself later.
Yeah.
That scene's brilliant, isn't it? He's like, give it here.
Chocolate isn't very good for Trachans. Well,
we don't know what the reaction would be to Trachans.
Yeah.
It might not be very good.
So instantly the Doctor is threatened with execution for giving children chocolate.
And in their defence, he didn't know. What if they have the same reaction to chocolate as dogs?
Exactly, that's true.
What's a lethal dose?
A lethal dose of chocolate is 8.5 pounds, or as me and Joe Brand consider it, a good start.
A bit lower for a dog.
Yeah, but a little bit lower.
Tad lower.
But for the first time ever, someone runs into the room at the last moment and says, wait! And the executioner was stalled.
Had never happened before, had it?
No. And the Doctor's very casual about it, almost expecting it now.
Yes. Yeah.
But there again, who would eat 8.5 pounds of chocolate in one sitting?
I just said me and Joe Brand.
Me?
I thought I'd made that quite clear.
Meanwhile, the captured Nyssa and Tegan have been evaluated.
Oh, yeah. Because they're obviously lying, because there's no such things as other worlds.
That's it. But, and they've decided that Nyssa is superior in her intelligence.
Which she is.
And Tegan's a bit of a...
Not so much.
That's it, yeah.
She's unfair on Tegan, but considering the mood she was in, completely understandable.
That's right. And all of this is being watched by someone in the church.
Yes.
If I remember rightly, the guard that decided to send her on the train said that Tegan had used various parts of animal anatomy to describe him.
That's right. And it turns out that the high priest is an alien.
Dun, 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 dun!
But they don't know that because, of course, there are no other planets.
No other planets.
They think he's a god.
He's been sent from God.
Yeah.
And it takes
a
couple of sentences from this high priest, and you think, that's almost like, but not quite like...
We're going to spoil it for anyone everywhere.
Yeah. Spoiler music.
Sha-la-la-la-la. That sounds a bit like a Dalek.
It is.
But it doesn't sound right. What have they done? Oh, it's clearly not a Dalek. How lazy of them to just make it sound like a Dalek. Can't they think of better ways to do this?
Well, you actually suggested that it was Davros.
I did, yes.
Okay. Yes.
I was reminded of Dalek Khan. Yeah.
Yes.
When he was uncased.
Well, it had Nick Briggs in it, so I mean, there's bound to be a Dalek in there somewhere.
Yeah. This Dalek does have a giggle, doesn't he?
It does. Yes.
Again, like Khan.
Just a little bit insane.
Yeah.
Not completely. completely insane, just a little bit.
I did wonder if they were going to pull a switch on us and make us think it's a Dalek and not be.
Yes.
But the twist was, it actually was a Dalek.
It was a Dalek. Wasn't much of a twist, really.
Not really.
The Dalek gets its casing back just to review all the footage of a blue box materialising.
He thought he should know it.
That's it.
Yeah, because the Dalek, as you've probably guessed, was the thing they bumped into in the time stream.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But it can't remember anything.
No, not much.
Because its ship was really blown up.
It was destroyed and its casing's been damaged.
Yeah.
So it's not actually in its casing. It's in another inferior life support system.
It's basically an octopus in a jar.
That's it.
Yep.
And the only way for it to get home is to send word to the other Daleks. And so it's created this whole technological religion and evolution on this planet and got them invested in war to kind of spur on all the technological advances.
They shadow-like.
Yes.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the rebellion, the poor bastards have inherited Tegan.
So they're bound to win.
Yay.
They've got that can-do attitude.
Well, she tries to encourage them to, as a last desperate attempt to attack the elite, but no killing.
And Nissa, it's like she doesn't know what war is.
And Nissa appears to be helping the Doctor, but it's a betrayal. Yeah. She's been conditioned.
Hang around Adric too long.
Yeah. And then the Doctor confronts the High Priest, now in his new garb, and decides to help it get home.
Yes.
So that they can fix all of the problems and stop the war and the people can have this planet back to themselves.
To undo the damage that the Dalek has done, because the Dalek itself has managed to warp the entire society.
So there'd be no Florana.
No Florana.
No peaceful place to go and hide among the tulips.
And just when you think it's all getting neatly wrapped up, the High Priest's lackey kills the Doctor via, I think, energy from the TARDIS.
The Dalek.
Yeah. Kills the Dalek.
Kills the Dalek, sorry.
Yeah.
You'd say the Dalek was only a little bit loopy.
Yeah.
This guy, his cheese had slid off his cracker by the end.
Yes. When he was violent, he was really cruel,
wasn't he, with people.
But yeah, through the last episode, gradually his megalomania just creeps
and
up.
The giggling.
Giggling. Is he overacting or is he just possessed? Or?
Possessed, I think.
I think overacting.
I thought he was excellent.
Maybe he has some of the chocolate.
Yes.
Could have done.
Told you.
I ate 1.5 pounds of it.
Yep.
So it's a Dalek story in which the Daleks aren't in the final episode at all. It's all about him, isn't it?
I was surprised it got killed off quite so early.
Yeah.
Episode 3, wasn't it? But, yeah.
Yeah.
But this was, we listened to this all in one go. It was, really enjoyable.
Yeah. I've got to admit, it would have been difficult to have kept the Daleks a secret, but I would have liked to have seen this one as a TV episode.
Well, it was meant to be.
I know it was meant to be. It went in a different direction, but starting off, it had quite a lot in common with Dalek and Jubilee.
Yeah,
just the lone Dalek creature.
Yeah.
And it sort of instills that false sense of security with all the comedy going on.
Yeah.
And the actual big finished cover design and artwork for the CD, there's no mention of a Dalek. Yeah.
None at all.
None at all. So
there's
don't
what
know
looks it. Like an octopus
in
front.
Octopus, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is an octopi.
Yeah.
A creature with tentacles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised how well it fitted into that era.
Yeah.
You could obviously it's written with them in mind. You can certainly feel it.
That's one thing that distracted me, but I understand it's keeping him within the era. The music.
The music is very radiophonic.
Very farty. Yeah. Not good radiophonic, farty radiophonic.
And the continuity worked as well, I say. It wasn't over the top. Even like the final words about Florana.
Yeah.
That was quite interesting.
Mm. So it leaks back in because they're actually on Florana. A couple of centuries before it has its reputation of being a pleasure planet or a love planet.
At least, I get the impression there's no people there at all
when
the Doctor knows of it. So
Does
that imply the entire civilization fell after this?
That's true, yes. And it's kind of, because right at the end it picks up again, doesn't it? And you think, oh, okay, so the future might be quite dark. I won't spoil it, but...
Do they end up just wiping each other out?
Well, the civilization certainly took heavy losses. And they were going around systematically wiping out all other nations.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the course of the story. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. I think the Dalek itself would have been a higher rank than the Jubilee Dalek and the Dalek Dalek. Mm. Because of its... It could think for itself to a certain extent.
Yeah.
It so could. Where Dalek...
It was instinct.
Dalek Jubilee, it was a grunt. It needed orders. Mm. Well, mm-hmm. this one, it had a plan to get back to the Dalek Empire. So it's maybe a squadron leader or a squad commander.
One thing that they didn't make anything of, and at the time I thought, oh, that's not good. They had all these children, these elite children, mm-hmm. were playing video games.
Yes.
They were actually piloting war drones and blowing people away. Mm. And nobody knew that at the time. Mm. And Nyssa was told to do it. And she wiped out however many people she wiped out.
Yeah,
and if she'd known, that would have destroyed her. But it was never worked out and never mentioned
to me. That sounds like the final scene from Ender's Game.
It was very
it's lifted from
that. It was
also
like an episode of Stargate SG-1.
Yes, in that very first scene or two when they're doing the attack, I thought it was simulation. It gave that impression, but then it turned out it wasn't. It was
very clever.
It was very good.
Anything else?
I quite like the Doctrinus. He's very sarky.
Mr. Davison or number five is on his game at the moment.
Yes.
When Nyssa said to him, "You're happy that Tegan's back, aren't you?" He didn't even try to hide his sort of and it was Nyssa who said, "We're doomed."
He even hints that, but it's been really nice and quiet. I was really enjoying myself.
And even when he's taken captive, he's just bluffs his way through it. He doesn't really care. He doesn't feel like he's in threat.
Yeah.
There's one scene with Church Academy headquarters.
Yeah.
Why am I bouncing between these three?
I just want a map.
Yeah. And the mind probe.
Oh, yes.
And the mind probe actually was quite scary in this one.
5 seconds it lasted under the Doctor.
Yeah,
they left him alone for a couple of...
The on button and the self-destruct button being too close.
They did give him a lot of leeway, didn't they? Points.
Yeah.
He just seemed to just take charge, which is nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Doctor does, isn't
it? Well, it's a military organisation, so you're used to build...
Even when he was a captive, they just let him do stuff. Yeah.
But you're used to blindingly obeying orders, so you've got someone who assumes authority, tells you what to do.
And wants to use the Doctor to get at the Church, and then the rebels want to use Tegan to get to the Doctor, and it's going back and forth, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun.
I did enjoy this, and I would love to have seen it televised.
I wonder why it didn't. I can't think it would be that expensive to do.
No, not with model shots and things. Maybe the ships with enlightenment, that sort of thing. Mind you, if they can't afford the actual models of the ships, they just go for like scanner blips, don't
exactly,
they?
Yeah.
Markers.
BBC micrographics.
Well, so Blake 7 had a whole space battle where you didn't have one model shot. It's just them reacting to lasers.
Flashing blips.
Why am I reminded of the Vlurg and the...
Not the Haganons. From Hitchhikers.
It turns into a video game.
Oh, really?
Okay, well, this one was written by Barbara Clegg and John Dorney.
Barbara Clegg. Did she write Enlightenment?
She did, didn't she?
I think she did.
I think she did.
Yes.
One wonders how it differs from the original potentially televised script.
These lost stories, they vary massively. Sometimes they are fully written scripts, they're just adapting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes it was vague notions, they say...
An outline.
Yeah. I wrote this sentence once.
Exactly.
Make something of it. Yeah. Okay, well, we all like that to varying degrees. Yeah, so we would love to know what you think. Go and listen to The Elite and then write to us via show.
At
staggeringstories.net.
I'm disappointed with no Thargoids.
No.
Big finish aside, we decided to watch some television. We tuned into
Disney.
We did.
Yes.
And we watched...
Some princesses.
No, we didn't. We watched a few episodes of...
Alien Earth.
Pause for music.
Did it have Disney princesses in it?
It didn't have any...
No Disney princesses.
It had lots of entrails, if that counts.
What's wrong with Messi?
And as the alien queen princess?
What about Wendy from Peter Pan?
Adam, tell us about this.
Well, this was at one point going to be a film.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Noah Hawley was developing a film, and now he's running this TV show.
Yes.
Which is set, I believe, sometime between Alien and Aliens.
Yeah, I think it's a twin.
I think it was 2 years before the original movie.
Oh, okay. But it starts with a crew who have been sent out by Weyland-Yutani to find alien life forms. Oh, a
65-year mission.
Yeah, yes. They spend animation, aren't they?
Puts Kirk in his place, doesn't it?
They have found some alien life.
Yes.
And they bring it back to Earth to study.
Yes. And it's not very friendly.
And something goes wrong. There's a saboteur on the ship.
There is.
Who is working for another firm, who we spend most of our time with, who crashes a ship into this other firm's city.
Into an office building.
And
it was a good crash.
On board is, of course, a xenomorph, a traditional alien, as we know from Ridley Scott's Alien.
And then a couple of others as well.
The eyeball alien is awesome.
Oh,
that's a weird one, And it seems to be an enemy of the xenomorphs.
Yes,
too.
It does seem to be, considering its size, it does seem to be intelligent, quite intelligent.
Oh, very intelligent, It's trying to warn some of the crew about the alien.
And when it's plugged into other life forms, because it can plug in and take control of...
That poor sheep.
It ups that intelligence as well.
Yes. Yeah, it basically takes control of their brain.
I've never seen a sheep look so annoyed.
When it stood up on its back legs and looked a bit confused, it was just... eyeball hanging. Hanging out of its socket.
Lots of body horror type stuff. Warning,
although this is Disney, or it's on Disney Plus, I think it's Star and FX.
Yes, FX.
It is quite gory.
I
got the impression with if they brought some eggs, alien eggs back to Earth.
Yeah.
Right, this is my opinion only.
Okay.
I think what the xenomorph was trying to do, it was trying to sort of work out the best parasite, because you had that plant-like thing hanging from the ceiling in the ship. You had the eyeball alien.
Yeah.
What else?
The leech.
I think it's working out the best form of interspecies parasite.
Sorry, and at one point, the little the blood-sucking leech, that shoots a load of, should we call them tadpoles, into a drink of water?
Yeah. Most recent episode that we've seen, which is episode 5.
Yeah.
Yes. 6 will be out by the time this comes out.
That's it, because for the first 10 minutes, you're just blown away by the design, aren't you, of this retro ship.
It's lifted directly. Because it's a Weyland-Yutani, they based it on the Nostromo and went back to the original plans, the original set photos, set plans.
The blinking lights.
Well, the computer room, the mother computer.
It makes the same noise.
Yeah.
Aside from the alien, you have
the other team,
the other group of people. Mm. Yes. Basically the kid from Atmos, but taken to the nth degree.
Boy Kavanagh.
He works for Prodigy, doesn't he?
He is Prodigy. They basically get a load of terminally ill children and put their consciousness into adult synthetic bodies.
And I tell you,
the acting, especially those two little boys were at most 11 or 12. And the two actors that play the adult synth version of them, it must have been like going back to their childhood.
To primary school.
Because they are so good. You know, they're grown-ass men.
But they still had the mannerisms of children.
And the vulnerability. They weren't sure if they were in trouble or not. It was all big eyes and shoulders.
So it does make me wonder whether Ash and Bishop, whether they were synths or whether they were these hybrids.
That's a good point, actually. I think it's two different things.
I think Ash certainly was a computer synth.
He was synthetic.
Yeah.
Certainly his actions were overridden by the company. He was fully synthetic.
Bishop,
the same. I think he was entirely synthetic as well. Yeah. They said, so far at least, they can't transfer adult minds.
Got to be children.
It's not very clear why, and it implies that they've tried and it failed in some way.
Well, we've got evidence of that with one of the synths who declared she was pregnant. We haven't got further into that story yet, because the current one, episode 5, is a flashback to how the ship crashed.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't and see, she was about 15.
Yes.
So maybe she was a little bit older, yeah. But she does seem to have just gone off the edge.
There's
and they're, of course, they're all named after the Lost Boys from Peter Pan.
Yes.
One of them's Wendy. You've got Toodles, Smee, Nibs.
And Wendy's brother is a doctor working for the same prodigy.
Yeah, prodigy.
Eventually he comes back, doesn't he, and she finds him.
Because he was on the ship, wasn't he?
He was on the ship.
Well, she had hacked into the mainframe and was following him around.
Yes,
off her own back, she'd hacked into the mainframe and was monitoring and keeping tabs on him. And he was part of the first responders to come into the spaceship crash.
Retro spaceship from the first Alien film crashes into a tower, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think I have to mention, and I think it's deliberate, the name of the crashed ship is Maginot.
Maginot, yes.
Which is named after the Maginot Line.
Yeah.
World War One, which was an overly complicated, highly sophisticated wall across France to keep Germany out that completely and utterly failed.
Because
they went round it rather than...
The Nostromo and Sulaco, both those were lifted from the novel Nostromo.
Yeah.
It's one... interesting face to pop up. Adrian Edmondson.
Yes. It took me a while.
He's astounding.
He's a nasty piece of work.
As I said to you, sometimes all the monsters aren't down in the lab.
Exactly.
They're
wearing posh suits.
Yeah, imagine Eddie Hitler, but without the humour.
And slightly fewer bottom farty jokes.
Yeah.
I was watching, I thought, I recognise that face.
Yeah.
It does so well, because he's such a sweet guy. And this character is just, he's horrible.
We're not too sure what his position is. He seems to be an enforcer, but it's either a bureaucrat or a lawyer.
And I'm not entirely sure why he's doing what he's doing yet. Is he just in it for himself, or is he a company man to the nth degree?
I think so. I think it's probably that. Yeah.
I was going to ask, did we see one of the alien eggs begin to open for a synth?
A couple of times.
I don't think it's for the synth. It's certainly when Boy Kavanaugh, the head dude, leaned over it. It opened up and I can't remember the name of the guy. The one you thought was Captain Hook. He's a total synth, grabs him and just drags him out of the lab.
Theolophin's character, Cash.
Thing I did notice was when they had one of the eggs in the lab and they were cutting it open to get the facehugger out, you actually see the outside world from the facehugger's point of view.
They cut in like it's an embryo in its sack, and you see it moving around in there.
A little tadpole type thing is going to become the alien.
The original chestburster, the little baby chestburster. Yes. Yeah, they perform an autopsy on the facehugger and take out the eggs, basically.
Well, that's the thing. The chestburster, it doesn't... What's her name?
Wendy?
Wendy, she strokes it.
Yeah, so we have a little quirk here. Wendy is hearing the aliens speak.
Yes.
Can hear them communicating. Mm-hmm. I think it's the fact that she's reproducing the communication is what made the chestburster hesitate.
Not attack her.
Because they feed the chestburster with her brother's lungs.
Yeah, they remove the lung from the brother. Yeah. Yeah. He did get injured, but I'm not sure he got injured that badly.
No, it didn't seem unnecessary. Because presumably they will gestate in the lung.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because obviously going through the mouth.
Yeah.
It's either there or into the intestines.
It's not a stomach burst. It's a chest burst.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to say, I was a little disappointed after the first episode opening where everyone got killed off really quickly. And you think, was that it? Was it just set the whole thing up, get you involved, and then it all switches to the synths on Earth and the children? But then we get to a later episode,
the fifth episode.
And it's self-contained on the same ship, and it's all the events leading up to what we saw at the beginning.
We're in a flashback mode.
Yeah, and that definitely feels like a mini Alien film.
I think that was the idea behind it. Yeah. I remember reading an interview with the writer-director of that episode, and he said, I wanted to do an Alien movie, and that was it. That was his little baby.
It's quite fun, because you saw them all dead.
Yeah.
Mm. didn't know how it happened. Then in this episode five, you finally see how they all get to be in that position.
Yeah. And they kind of explore all the different stages of the xenomorph, don't they, on there? And all and the eyeball alien, what it does.
Yeah. And then also, I think we've neglected Murrow, the security chief of the Maginot, the half-cyborg.
Oh, yes. Who's the sole survivor.
Yeah, who's the sole survivor of the Maginot, and his job was to go out there, find these aliens, and bring them back. Mm-hmm. And although I was fascinated with the scene where he was downloading all the information.
Yeah.
And the pressure that seemed to put on his body, the sweat that was pouring out of him at that point in time.
And I wasn't sure whether he downloaded it all into that little sort of transferable device and put it on one of the children's necks.
I think that's a bug.
That's a bug.
That allows him to communicate with
Little red thing on his finger.
Because
then he could talk to the boy. Yes. I call him a boy.
Yeah, he's trying to get him to steal the eggs and return them back to him.
Inside man,
And he's talking to him like he's manipulating him like you would be able to a young kid.
Yeah, he's grooming him, basically, isn't he?
I think we're made aware that the company, whether it's Weyland-Yutani or Prodigy, they're aware of the Xenomorph's existence.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. In the first movie, in the scene where they've just decommissioned Ash, you hear Ripley saying they want the Xenomorph for its bioweapons department.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that was the main plot of both Alien and Aliens. Is to try to get some of those eggs back on Earth. Mm-hmm. And if this is set...
Two years before,
obviously it's going to go very, very wrong.
Oh, good grief, yeah. But I did like the design of the Maginot. I mean, to me, it reminded me of something from Star Wars. Mm. Because all the ships have a definite role. I mean, the Nostromo, it's very bulky, sort of very gritty.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's a commercial towing vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas the Sulaco, bristling with armaments, it's a military vessel.
If you look at the silhouette of the Sulaco, it's a rifle.
Mm, yeah.
If you look at the silhouette of the ship. Whereas I think the Maginot is, again, it's very much like the Nostromo. It's a commercial cargo vessel. You get that attitude from certainly the slapdash reactions of the crew. For example, the doctor doing an autopsy without a mask and a fag hanging from his mouth. Yeah.
Have to ask, though, do all these ships have to have a ginger cat as the ship's cat?
It seems to be.
It was course, very Jonesy.
It comes as standard.
Mm-hmm. At least Jonesy lived, though.
Yeah.
Well, as long as cats live. But this one, not so much.
Yeah. No, when I saw that cut, I thought, something's wrong with that. It's when I just saw the eye poking out of its cranium.
But at the moment, I am enjoying it. Certainly for me, it's a must watch. I've been watching each episode as they've dropped.
Yeah, well, I first heard about the concept of bringing aliens to Earth.
Yeah.
And seeing the future, I thought, it's not going to be very good, is it? But actually, I think they've done a really good job of world building. The whole idea of having, we had the synths, which we know, Ash and all that.
Bishop.
But now we've got cyborgs, which makes sense. Yeah. And now we've got these, what do they call them, hybrids. Which is an interesting idea. I think it's a project which is going to fail.
I think it is, yeah.
But interesting to see.
I think certainly it's a project that, if it's not successful in itself, is going to fail because of other circumstances that are going on around
I was hoping they'd dwell a bit more on that technology. They might yet, but when they're uploading the consciousness, presumably it's just a copy.
Yeah.
So do they just let the original die on the table?
Yeah.
Are they just injecting him with something to kill him?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think possibly, because it's back to my old favourite and the thing that really annoys you.
Cutting your toenails.
No.
Euthanizing the children.
Is a difference that makes no difference any difference.
Yes, it's a difference because it's called a difference.
But it makes no difference.
But it's still a difference.
It makes no difference.
But we're going to go round in circles and you're going to end up in the shed with the spider.
So the synth which wakes up with their memories and personality, obviously they will think they're the original.
Yeah.
But I think the original could still live beyond that. But obviously they were terminally ill, but they could still live for a more
But they
time,
have to they have to get rid of the original because of any social, what's the term? Discontinuity. You know,
that's true.
If you technically meet yourself, you know, but I'm the original. No, I'm the original. No, I'm the original.
And certainly be alarming for the original who thinks, oh, yeah, I'm not going to survive. I'm going to die. I'm not going to wake up in another body.
Or Wendy's brother suddenly coming across another version of Wendy, the original Wendy.
I'm particularly pleased with this series because everything from Alien Resurrection onwards, I've just found dull.
Really?
Yeah, I just haven't enjoyed any of it. It's just all been so up itself.
And good.
Yeah, no, I didn't enjoy it at all.
Really? I'll be watching that next.
You haven't watched Alien Romulus, I don't think.
I think I have.
I have, yeah.
You're going to go around in circles and
you're
going to end up in the
shed.
Actually,
I might not have done.
Have you seen the Zero-G
the one on the
Alien
space
blood?
Station?
No. I haven't seen that one. No. Okay, well, I'll watch that one then.
That one is good.
But everything up to the one, not including the one I haven't seen.
Everything from Alien 3 onwards.
Yeah, I haven't enjoyed this. I'm enjoying.
I mean, I would say, the franchise has redeemed itself somewhat.
Mm. Yes, I agree. Yeah, Romulus and this, I think, have both been excellent. Romulus is getting a sequel, although the director of the original isn't going to direct the sequel, but he is involved.
I found Prometheus and what was the follow-on with that?
It's called Alien something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Covenant.
How little Covenant. I cared.
Alien Covenant.
Covenant, yeah. I mean, I just found it a bit...
Prometheus I didn't enjoy. Haven't watched Covenant because I didn't enjoy Prometheus.
And that's why I haven't watched it.
It's a straight on. I've seen Romulus. Romulus is good.
Yes.
Loses it slightly for myself near the end, but it's still a good film.
Yeah, that's also set in a similar time period to this one.
Yeah.
Between the first two films.
Yeah.
It was a good place to be.
And it takes Alien as its blueprint for the architecture.
Yes. Mm. I actually quite like Prometheus, but let's not get into that.
But I'm drifting.
Indeed.
It's the difference.
So how many episodes are there in total?
About halfway, just over halfway.
Here it's showing we have up to 8, so we've got 3 more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. 2 more by the time this comes out.
Mm. Okay, so if you've got Disney, click that button.
FX or whatever it might be in America.
Exactly. And watch Alien Earth. Because we think it's rather good.
It is.
And we'd like to know what you think.
Mm-hmm.
So write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Oh, dear.
Oh, speaking of aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
He's got a hat.
He's got a hat.
He's got a hat.
An octopus.
A miniature octopus.
He's got two.
Yes. He's got two dinky McSquirtalots now.
Oh. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, Pertwee.
How many eyes does that stinky McSquirtalot got?
I recognise that
Stinky McDirtalot.
Hello, Terence. Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty.
Hello, Ashes of Grunhild and Nobnacker.
Hello, Dangerous Charlie. Folded up and propped against the radiator, Clara.
Various nebulas.
Bourneville, yes.
Bourneville the Dalek.
And Sandy.
Sandy and the goats.
And the goats. And
that was a group in the 70s, wasn't it?
Sandy
and the goats.
Sandy and the goats.
With Baby, I've Got the Horn.
Does anyone here remember Josie and the Pussycats?
I do. Mm. After saying hello to him, we need to say hello to someone else who isn't here because her little finger hurts.
Oh. What should we do with it?
I'm not entirely sure.
Shall we call it Riddler's Ruminations?
Mm. Okay. Now it's time for Riddler's Ruminations.
Hi, sorry I'm not at the podcast. I've got tendonitis, which is a pain in the shoulder. Basically, driving is not very good for it at the moment. So I thought I would send my musings. Mm. Yes, I have musings on Alien Earth. Well, I've watched the whole lot. I like the fact that it feels like the same universe as the original Alien movie. And I like the idea that there are the odd occasions where it thinks it leads you to think it's going down the same way. There's one or two times when they're on the ship with the various different collection of alien fauna and flora. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys starts coughing at the dinner table and you're sort of thinking, oh, I know what's coming here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. It's interesting that it's also not just about the alien that we know. There's a couple of different ones. I particularly like the eyeball. And there's something definitely going on between the eyeball and the alien.
Yeah.
The eyeball seems to have its own state of consciousness above that which it occupies.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically when one of the wormies got out of the test tube, it's trying to indicate to the scientist that the wormies got out the test tube. So it kind of like gives you an idea it has its own intelligence.
Yep.
And the few times that it interacts with the alien seems more off guard, almost more afraid of it. So I think there's more to come on that one. I definitely get the feeling there's something there between these two species that there's got to be developed. So the premise of it, you've got the boy wonder, who is basically a very, 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 very wealthy boy, man, young man, who's never been told no, who is now one of the four or five people that rule the planet, all of whom are billionaires. No, this doesn't sound familiar at all. And the big thing with society, it's about 100 years from now, is extending life. And there are different ways of doing it. And his one has been chosen to experiment with downloading people into almost like an artificial body. So like the synths that we had in the original one, only these are actual people with genuine memories. They GPP. Consciously are aware they're going into this other body. And the oldest one is Wendy, and there's some other kids that are all done similarly. They're all terminal, and they have their essences brought down into these bodies of, I'd say young adolescents, young, you know, sort of like 20s, 21 type age group for them. The theory being that it works with children because their brains are more malleable and accepting of this process. So, spacecraft with aliens crashes on Earth. These group of kids, I'll call them kids, freeze, say, let's go rescue the people, etc. Now, the plane has crashed in the Wonder Boys' territory.
Delivery.
And Wendy, who is the elder of these girls, all of the kids are named after Peter Pan characters. Her brother is a medic there. So that's why she wants to go. And as you can imagine, chaos, mayhem, death, alien eating of people, experiments, etc., etc. You name it, it's going on. Now, initially, I was impressed by the initial images and all the rest of it. I was a bit unsure what was going on at the first with Wendy and how this plays in. But it's a slow boiler. I wasn't sure at first. I really wasn't sure if I was going to stick with it. But it does get better. I found it sort of took about three episodes when it stopped feeling like just a rescue search mission. Oh, look, here's my brother and there's an alien running around. I felt those first three episodes could have come down a little bit unless there's stuff that's gone on there that's going to come back to us.
Those poor party goers.
So you've got...
Severed party goers.
The boy wonder now owns the ship, now has all the aliens. The owner of the spaceship is of another house and is not happy about this. And spoiler music, la-la-la-la-la. You find that there's a reason why she really shouldn't be happy about this. It's an interesting concept. This isn't just alien as in the alien we know from the movies. I think it's when it's alien Earth. There's at least three species we see, all of which the boy wonder's now experimenting with, including getting the Wendy's brother on board. I don't think anyone really knows what he's up to, and I think that's going to play out further. I think he's using the aliens to see if he can basically bio-organise a human-alien hybrid, etc., like we've seen before. It is an interesting concept. As I say, I found it a bit of a slow boiler, but it was good enough to keep my interest, and I would be interested in seeing how it comes out. But one thing I did love about it, the alien is like the original. None of this like doggy alien or whatever. It's a beautiful, sleek, black,
shiny,
toothy monster in all its glory, very much like the original. Although Wendy does end up with a smaller pet-like version, which resembles a bit more like a snake. So
just burst
I would give it a watch. I'd give it a go. Stick with it. I don't know if I kind of like blocked watched it because not having a lot else to do at the moment because I'm basically being told to rest the arm and there's not a lot you can do when you're right eye handed and it's your right arm. So I kind of sat there on the couch and watched it almost back to back. I think to some extent that probably is what made me go through all of it. If I was watching it one a night, I'm not sure I'd have got through the first two or three episodes. But, yeah, each to their own. Mm-hmm. It is worth sticking with. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's enough of the original Alien for me to see where it comes from. It's enough different to not be a copy of other films or ways we've gone. Anyway, be interesting to hear to see how much of this my fellow podcasters agree or disagree with me on. Take care, and hopefully I will be there tendinitis healing for the next podcast.
Yeah.
Bye!
Just have an amputation.
Bye, sweetie.
Thank you.
I think I'd agree that those first three episodes, I think I was only going on to the next one because not much had happened that would have kept me going. Especially after the first 10 minutes, you think everyone's dead on the ship. And it's a complete change. Yeah. Yeah. Also, what she was saying about the eyeball monster,
yeah.
I thought it was trying to get the scientists' attention in the lab so that the grub could do its thing. Yeah.
Was it
helping?
This is the question. Was it warning or was it helping?
Yeah.
I thought warning, but okay. It can be read both ways.
I understand where you're coming from. It can be read both ways.
Mm, interesting. Yeah.
It's certainly out the group of aliens that we have, it's possibly the most intelligent.
Yeah.
Yes, probably. Probably should say also, I like the fact this is an alien series, which isn't just a rehash of the first film, which is what they became after Aliens.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Alien 3 is basically as Alien again. And even Romulus, to a degree, is just Alien again.
Yeah,
it's very formulaic, but this messes with that, and I like the fact they changed that up.
Yeah,
more like the comics sort of thing.
Yeah, I have to disagree on a certain stake. Is that I've watched an episode. And I've waited until the next episode comes out because I've watched them one a night. And I like that because it gives me a chance to sit down and theorise. Mm. Now, 9 times out of 10, my theories are completely wrong, but I still enjoy doing that.
Yeah. Right, we've got a letter.
Oh. Ooh.
We have a letter from Mark.
Oh, hello. What has Mark got to say to us?
Mark says, hello, Trixie.
What?
I hope this email reaches you. I had to send it via those weirdos at Staggering Stories. It's me, Mark, a friend of your mum's. I wanted to tell you about my favourite time at Hooverville 16 in Derby that I attended this weekend. As usual, the day ran like clockwork and the guests were friendly, happy and enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. A lovely change this year, the dealer's room has windows and proper light, on which I'm blaming the fact I spent way too much money.
Snap.
The event highlights for me this year were catching up with everyone and, of course, enjoying the guests. Sans Adric, as I wanted to go to talk about Doctor Who dollies. This is the first time I've heard so much from new Who folk, and it was like a breath of fresh air. All of them were gushing and loving their time with us. It's very interesting to hear from people who are currently working on the show and the way that they think about their impact on the legacy. The sheer number of NDAs they must sign and how they recognise the celebrity can mean so much to society. This was particularly heightened by Charlie Condu, being half of a same-sex couple who has kids and his pioneering efforts to normalise this and give support to others. The Queen herself, Jo Martin, also spoke passionately and emotionally on the power and privilege of being the first black doctor. Mm. A quick aside on the NDAs, Steph DeWally, Anita from Joy to the World, told us she had next to no time to film the final episode and looked really concerned when asked a question about Shuti's departure. It was a fascinating insight into what we understood to be a very troubled production.
Yep.
I guess we'll learn more in a decade or so.
Hopefully.
Jo Martin herself was worth the ticket price. I do truly think she has been the best guest I've ever seen at any convention. Such a wonderful human being. And I got to ask her a question about being immortalised as an action figure.
Oh, spoilers, that was you, was it, Mark?
Spoilers, she bloody loves it. Of course, another highlight was a very special gathering to talk about your wonderful mum, Siobhan. We talked about how we knew her and our favourite memories of her. I will take away from that a particular quote from Jo. Siobhan ran so that I could fly. I can't follow that. Anyhow, I also bumped into your aunties and uncles from Staggering Stories. They're doing a great job. I also heard how your terrorism of Construct Number 2 is remaining strong. Yep. Keep up the good work. One final word. Steve Hatcher and the team are just great at this. For those who have never been to Hooverville, what the heck is wrong with you? Lol. Okay, one final word. Our fandom is the absolute best. Yes, we have those that we wish would shut up and take a hike, but on the whole, we're all fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks for reading this, Trixie. My boys, Granger, Enzo and Carlton, send soft woofs and warm butt sniffs. I've attached a photo, not of the butts, but the dog. Just keep on being a good girl for Auntie Karen and Uncle Keith. Build high for happiness, Mark. And there's a picture of all the dogs.
All the doggies.
They're so cute.
And well behaved.
Thank you, Mark. I'll pass that on to Trixie immediately.
Yeah, I have to agree. Hooverville was great.
And, it was great.
Jo Martin, I enjoyed hearing her story about how she, you know, had to conceal everything from her own Doctor Who fan son.
Yes.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
And that she answered Mark's question by saying she had multiple action figures, some of them still sealed in
various
them.
Poses. Around the house.
But it's the fact that she told her son she'd got this part in Doctor Who and he was very pleased. And then Ruth did the karate kicking and her son paused. It was like, whoa, where did you learn to do that? And then the reveal.
The reveal.
And I think the boy's probably still bouncing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was talking about his friends all texting him. That was your mum!
Running around the house for about 10 minutes.
I think I agree with Mark as well. It's quite refreshing to go and have people from New Who because you haven't heard their stories or their anecdotes before.
Yeah.
If you went to watch Nicholas Courtney when he was around, you'd be waiting for the eye patch joke.
Yeah, well, indeed.
Yeah.
But that was part of the fun, wasn't
it? That was part of
and
the fun.
As you were saying, was it Deborah Watling who said that I tell the stories because there are some people out there.
No, Katie Manning.
Sorry, Katie Manning.
She said, I don't mind telling the same stories because somewhere amongst you lot is someone who's never heard them before and I'm telling it to them.
Yeah. But yes, it was another great Hooverville, wasn't it? We all spent too much.
We did, but it's always so much fun. And Steve Hatcher and the team.
They do a phenomenal job.
They really do.
Yeah.
Another one of my favourites was Jacqueline King.
Oh, yes.
Donna's mum.
Yes.
She was so happy and so unlike her character.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh,
I saw, I think it was her, Camille Kudry and Martha's mum.
Yeah.
At the, where was it we went? Big place beginning with E, 50th.
Excel.
That's the one.
Yes. Not Edinburgh. No.
And it was just the three of them on stage. And they, talk about embracing it.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm loving, that they all, they get welcomed into the family by the old hands. Yeah. And they're pretty much delighted to be asked to these things.
There's Anita who was saying that nobody realised she was pregnant when she came back.
Oh, right, you're coming back in this episode. Okay, I should tell you. No, just be there. Mm.
They dug out her old costume.
Pregnant.
Yeah. It was between her sixth and eighth month
by the time they finished filming.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't notice, I must admit. Go back and look. See if her bump does get bigger and smaller.
A lot of shots above the waist.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
And the actor that was in the recent Eurovision episode.
Charlie Condu.
He was. He even mentioned Doug Adoo, didn't he, at one point?
Yes.
Should be the true winner, yeah.
That's it.
But yeah, Dealer's Room was fantastic. We did spend far too much money. There was some really good stuff there.
3D printed Daleks.
I wish I could have afforded a clockwork robot head, but...
Oh. But for the first time, we didn't do well on the raffle.
No.
I won one item.
And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
He held up our corner. Adam held up our corner.
In our defence, they kept thinking the salmon ones were pink ones. So yes. I actually won the first five.
Yeah. It's happened before. In the previous Hooverville, where the guests just don't get the colours right.
Yeah. Stephen, deal with this.
One of my favourite moments was when I was queuing up for a coffee and an innocent bystander just came into the quad to get a drink on his motorbike.
Turned on my heel and walked around.
What the hell's going on? I went, can you not tell from the Dalek there and everything? And then he rung his mate, who's a big Doctor Who fan, and asked them to come down. Mm. So hopefully they made it and they got in and everything. But...
Oh, good. Yeah, because it was sold out again.
Yeah.
As of more recent years, it's always been sold out.
Yeah. So it's a very popular, very well-handled, excellent one-day con.
And Steve is, and his sidekicks are definitely staying on for one more at least.
Yeah, this was meant to be their final one. They were going to hand over the baton to somebody else to organise.
But they've been talked into it.
Yay!
Always room for just one more.
Yeah. So get tickets for Hooverville 17. You will not regret it.
Yes, get them early, unlike me. I didn't even have one. Yeah, I travelled up there not being able to get in.
So thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Yes, they're always amazing.
And we were joking about the raffle. Or were we?
And we weren't interviewing this time. Is that the first?
We weren't, although we were sort of there for Siobhan's
thing, yeah.
I think we have another piece of feedback from Graham.
I believe so. It's probably been two or three podcasts. It's been due. Oops. But it's come through irregular channels. So. It's been forgotten, I'm afraid, but it is
was
there
now.
Was
this the one where you had to go to the cafe and it was under the glass and you had to pick it up and transcribe it and then read it? Yeah, cool. Okay. Yeah,
that's the one.
Graham, next time just email it, dude.
Oh, is it audio feedback?
It is audio feedback.
Wow.
Via Facebook.
Via Facebook. Better check your Instagram.
MySpace.
Yeah, I don't do much on Facebook these days, but here we go. Let's give this a try.
Hello, Steris.
Hi.
It's Graham from, what used to be the Prodigy Podcast.
Hi there.
A few recommendations for you.
Ooh.
First of all, there's another Rivers of London book. Taking place in my home country. Well, I say my home country because of all the actually also German. Yeah, censorship. So, Stone and Sky.
Yes.
What a brilliant book.
Yes.
Yes.
Ben's been bringing out a lot of short forms as of lately, and this was the first long form Rivers of London book for a long time. And it doesn't disappoint. Lots of Scottish fairy tales, we could say, and well worth getting into. Now, the guy that does the Bobby Rush books, Dennis E. Taylor, he does have a few sidelines. Now, Bobby Rush is that... It's the AI who ends up basically looking after mankind after they nuke themselves.
We should do Bobby Rush some
more. Well, this is another... this guy goes really deep with things. And the book is called Flybot.
Okay.
A researcher into EMP, that's electromagnetic pulses, basically, stuff that kills most things.
Electronic.
Electrical.
Yep.
And definitely everything with chips in them, so computer chips. Discovers a fly on his desk after he's done one of the experiments and realizes that the fly is a robot fly.
Ooh,
robot and fly. And we start off with company espionage. Also, we think.
He's been banned.
But that's just the start of the tale, and it goes really deep. We also have things like, well, it's a police procedure, top of all that. There's lots of AI going on, intelligent AI. And on top of that as well, you have to get into it. Environmentals. So I highly recommend it.
Okay,
sounds
it's
good.
It's nothing that disappoints. Now, you went on about Banner and the Deltaman.
Oh, yeah.
I rather enjoy it, but I see it like this.
Yeah.
You put it on as a bit of popcorn or candy floss fun, and just don't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
So it was that entire G&T era where I thought things were going up and down. Now, talking about Andrew Carmel.
Dead.
I'm a little bit miffed.
No worries.
Because I've been waiting for a new Rivers, not Rivers London. Which he also does, but that's the cartoon, that's the cartoon, but the comic book, graphic novels.
Yep.
But his vinyl detective books, I've been waiting for one to come out. And then all of a sudden, around four corners, I find out not only is there another vinyl detective book, but there is another book detective, which is a parallel to the vinyl detective. It's all in the same arena, so to speak, book. So, the next 3 months, I think that's my honourable recommendation. So, it's two roles for two book detectives, one vinyl detective. We're looking forward to them. And finally got around to watching Craven. Now, knowing Craven from the comics, and also the Spider-Man animated adventure from the 90s.
Yeah. TV news reader,
Craven was, he was really pushed really into the comic book. A little bit sort of Batman 1966 sort of way of things. The actual film itself, despite getting panned, it was actually really good.
Oh, okay.
Just take it as an action adventure with a bit of superpowers and off you go. Great. So that's it for now. Bit of a long one for a short recommendation. But there we go. Till next time. Bye for now.
Thank you.
That's sorry, the trouble. The Sony Spider-Man has a, how can I put it delicately, a bit of a stink around it.
It does. Yeah. Are they continuing even? I don't know.
I don't know.
We've got another actual Spider-Man film, which is co-pro, I think, with Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
But whether their own individual films are continuing, I don't know.
What's it? The Marvel adjacent.
Yeah, the Sony Spider-Verse stuff.
Yeah, the Sony.
We've got another cross Spider-Verse.
Yeah,
the sequel to that, but the rest of the live action stuff is pretty dead.
I always find that difficult having a Spider-Man film that doesn't actually have Spider-Man in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is my hearing going, or could anyone else not understand a word he was saying?
It wasn't great.
Okay. I understand.
I think he was recording in the toilet or something.
No, I picked up bits, but not...
I heard him mention Rivers of London.
Yeah.
Because we've set up to do a role play, haven't we? So we've got some characters ready for Wednesday.
Yes.
I like Graham. He's a Rush fan, just like me. So. Yes.
Right, lead us out, Crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast. That sounded too convincing. But never fear, in the next one there'll be more of the same, more fun, frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more old and old.
Old new for us, maybe.
Well, new for us, yeah. So until that...
A for alien. Absolutely.
Amazing.
And...
Awesome.
And...
Awe-inspiring.
And...
Apocalyptic.
Aardvark comes ambling towards us.
Amiably. This is me, Crumbly,
with
saying...
With an apple.
For teacher. This is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Always remember, the crowd that applauds your coronation is the same crowd that will applaud your beheading. People like a show.
We do. You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, number 480, featuring Adam Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith, Asda Man, and the real Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers on the site. No copyright infringement is intended. And this has been an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Every time.
You just got to avoid the eye contact, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Adding.
My screen's frozen.
Did she? When did she say that?
No wonder the season's delayed.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out that I haven't touched the microphone once, but he's turned into Creaky McBones a lot.
This has always been Creaky McBones a lot. I have to adjust.
Don't have to.
I do have
typical
to
bloke. I'm just adjusting.
Yeah. Box is always a problem like that.
Just a minute. Burp.
Aye.
Excuse me.
Aye. I didn't burp.
Aye.
Aye. It was your Star Wars character falling off the cliff again.
Oh, that was ridiculous. It took me five goes to jump and swing across this chasm.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew it could be done. And then I did it, and for some reason, I then walked straight off the edge of the cliff and died.
Well, it's not only that, there's the speeder bike jump into the brick wall.
Yeah, that was funny. My speeder bike, oh, poor thing, it was smoking quite badly.
And it's the fact that you suddenly, halfway through, you suddenly realise you're not playing Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I make her jump off cliffs a lot, and then as she's plummeting to her doom, I realise she's not an assassin, and this is going to end quite badly. Other than that, it's an awesome game. Star Wars Outlaws. Buy it for the PS5. Ding!
Or PC, which is what I got.
Adam!
Yep.
Have you got any apple juice?
Juice, maybe. I think I'm running low, but...
You're doing this on purpose because you only had a quarter of a cup of Wednesday. Revenge. We've got a whole bottle just for you now.
We bought a nice big carton. I thought, yeah, that'll last us for the week. Everyone kept on having a small glass, and by the time Wednesday came along...
Yes, empty carton.
It had gone.
I had apple juice, I was away. I had lots of cider.
Good man.
Good man.
On the beach.
Cider on a beach. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see a Roman coffin tomorrow.
Roman coffin.
Off to Chichester.
Bignor.
Yeah. The museum has been given a grant for the preservation of the coffin and an educational thingy to do with it. So I'm going to go and see it before the museum's open.
Nice.
Interview the curator. Thank you, my dear.
So we're going to do Riddler's Corner.
Yeah. Riddler's Riddles. No. Widdles? I like the fact this is an alien film, which isn't just a...
You can ask me to flip a coin.
What? A coin!
You have been listening to the Staggering... I forgot that out completely. Couldn't remember it for the life of me last time. Brain fog.
Brain fart.
www.staggeringstories.net.
Hurrah!
480.
Turn off your microphones.